It is hour number three of Midday with Trey and BK at 12:50. We crosstalk with Rod Babers ahead of the Rodcast from 1 to 3. 12:30, Shooting the Bull includes, well, I'm not totally sure. I don't remember what I had written down for my prep notes for that one.
How about that? That's radio right there.
But right now, see, I'm excited about what's about to happen right now. Not just in terms of the dudes that we get to speak with, because they're not only Longhorn legends, they're just really cool guys, and they have something really fascinating that they are a part of now. But also, we get to eat cupcakes while we have this conversation. Joining us now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, it is Michael Griffin and Brian Arakpo. You guys are lifetime Longhorns. One of you still in the NFL, both of you longtime NFL players, but you're also owners of Gigi's Cupcakes out in Bee Cave now. I stopped by there a little bit earlier, got myself a dozen cupcakes from me and BK and also the office, and I was blown away by what I saw in terms of the quality of cupcakes, guys. First off, thank you very much for joining us. And Michael, we'll start with you. Where did this idea come from for you guys to get a cupcake shop going here in Austin?
Well, I guess it's not going to stop me. We got to go to Brian Arakpo. It was his idea. We both was in the Nashville, Tennessee area. And he came up with the idea last year. And we pretty much, him, another one of our partners, Brian Henson, they did a lot of footwork, found a great location, and we pretty much just went from there.
Brian, is this something that when you made the move to Tennessee, you became a fan of Gigi's pretty quickly and you wanted to share the love with Austin at some point?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I first got introduced to them when I signed with the Tennessee Titans, and Gigi's Cupcakes just originated from Nashville. So I loved it ever since I had my first taste. And I was like, you know, Griffin's been dealing with it for the past 9 years of his career, obviously. And I was like, why not just bring Gigi's down here if we have the opportunity? Because I don't think that there isn't anything in our area, per se, that has that type of gourmet cupcakes like that. So I just wanted to bring it to in the area for the community.
Love that. And while my guy BK here asks his first question, I'm about to take my first bite of the chocolate peanut butter pretzel cupcake.
That looks nuts.
This is going to be as good as it looks and smells. So thank you, guys.
All right, guys. Now cupcakes are dank. I mean, they're awesome. Right? There's no denying that. But it's you guys are football players, right? When you first told your boys, your teammates, whoever, that you were going to open a cupcake shop back here in Austin, Texas, what kind of reaction did you get?
You know what, I would say, you know, a lot of people were kind of amazed. You know, you just think about, you know, us playing football, especially defensive players. So, you know, we're the guys that got to do all the tackling and, you know, play hard-nosed football and whatnot. But, I mean, again, I think the most surprising thing is being that for our first 2 weeks of training, just watching us bake cupcakes and posting on our social media page, I think that everybody thought it was, you know, a good laugh. But I think now people are realizing how serious we are just being entrepreneurs and just being businessmen.
Okay. All right, that bite of chocolate peanut butter pretzel was no freaking joke. We have about seven different types of cupcakes that we're going to get to try over the next couple of hours. But I have to ask you guys, what is each of your favorite flavor that Gigi sells? We'll start with you, Brian.
Me personally, my go-to is the red velvet. I love the red velvet. It has like a vanilla cream in the middle of it, so can't go wrong with red velvet. That's my personal favorite.
How about you, Michael?
I'm on with the wedding cake. I love that buttercream. I love it. I don't know why. I think Brian told me yesterday I'm gonna get kind of fat and obese if I don't stop eating. I think I average about one or two a day.
He literally has a wedding cake every day. So I know that's his favorite. Every time we're working or doing a few things, he always grabs one around the corner and you know. Goes away with it.
Man, I just had a couple of bites of the wedding cake, and I'm pretty anti-marriage, guys. I'm a guy who wants to be single forever, but that thing was so good. If real wedding cakes taste like that, I might want to get married now. That's unbelievable. Now, are y'all baking these? I mean, are you guys baking the cupcakes? Do y'all spend time? Obviously, you had to learn it to get this place off the ground. But how are the baking skills for both of you?
You know what? I'm gonna go ahead. I'm the head baker. I'm the head baker.
Okay.
Brian Arakpo is the head decorator. Brian Henson does our customer service. So we found a niche for what we were good at to make this team work very well. So I'm the head baker right now. I think I'm the one that can pretty much know each cake and what is needed to make and make the cake. And I think Brian has pretty much solidified herself as the best decorator out of all of us. Brian Hintz is definitely the best customer service out of all of us.
Now, have you guys – yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Cool.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying it's pretty cool, man. Once we started this thing, you know, the cool thing about owning one of these is that you've got to go from ground up. So, like Griff said earlier, we literally been in training almost like two-a-days, just a cupcake variation where – we wake up 6 o'clock in the morning and we're learning different things from the business from ground up, from baking, decorating, and customer service to just everything that goes along with owning the business. And the cool thing about it, we got a little taste of every little thing as far as it comes to making the place great.
I love that, two-a-days for cupcakes. Now, you guys have a ton of great flavors. They're on the website, ggcupcakesusa.com. A ton of flavors already, but have you guys gotten to kind of create your own, right, and make your own recipes for something you like to try?
They're gonna allow us. We gotta kind of play with it a little bit. But right now, we're just trying to just master what we have right now. Eventually, we're trying to come up with an idea of something that's gonna be local. We haven't quite finalized that yet, but we're trying to come up with something possibly that we could do strictly for our store, and hopefully, it turns out big for us.
Guys, we spoke with one of your fellow Texas Longhorns, also an NFLer as well, Aaron Williams, last week, where he had a great piece that he penned in the Players Tribune announcing his retirement and addressing the city of Buffalo. Now, Michael, you didn't play this past season. Do you consider yourself retired, or would you still give it another go if the right team came along asking for your services?
You know what? Once you're a year removed, I think it pretty much solidifies itself. Unfortunately, I'm at the wrong end of 33 years old now, and haven't played a down of football in 2017. So I would say I'm officially done, and, you know, I'm enjoying life right now. It's a blessing to be where I'm at today, and I'm good right now.
And Brian, you just finished another season, of course, with the Tennessee Titans. How did you feel physically this year? And in your mind, what do you think will be the moment where you finally feel like it's maybe time to consider starting to step away from the game?
I just finished up my ninth season, obviously going to year 10. And honestly, I feel great. You know, I work extremely hard in my craft. Like, as of right now, doing this interview, I'm taking a break from the weight room with the other guys, because that's what I do. I'm always constantly on the grind, always constantly training. But, you know, I don't know when I'm ready. I know when I'm ready to give it up and I'm ready to be done. But as of right now, I still feel good. I still feel like I'm in my prime. My body feels great. So I'm just going to continue to roll. And then once I start falling out of love with the game, you know, it's time to hang it up, man. Go out on my own terms. But as of right now, I'm good.
Good. Lifetime Longhorns Brian Arakpro and Michael Griffin joining the show right now. And guys, you know, Michael, you spent, of course, 10 years or 9 years with Tennessee. Brian, you've been there for a couple of years. Hell of a season last year for the Titans, making the playoffs and going into Kansas City, winning that first playoff game. You know, a new coach, but it looks like things are on the up and up for your team right now, huh?
Yeah, man, we're one of those teams on the rise. Obviously, we made a lot of noise last season. Expectations weren't very high on our team. Well, people just pretty wasn't too sure about what we're going to do. And we made the playoffs by beating a very good Jacksonville Jaguars team in the last season finale. Went to the first game, got down in the first half, was able to come back with a thriller and beat a big-time team like the Kansas City Chiefs and face the Patriots and got knocked out the playoffs. But you know what? That was a great learning experience for our young team and to move forward. You know, Marcus Mariota and company, myself and the defense, we're going to be ready to roll.
Guys, I just had half of the chocolate chip cookie dough cupcake, and oh my gosh, that is so good. I wanted to ask you one more thing, Brian, about the Titans. Of course, you guys have a new head coach. Have you been able to interact with Mike Vrabel at all? If so, what are your initial impressions of your new coach?
Yeah, man, I love his energy. I love what he's all about. You know, shout out to my former staff. You know, they did a tremendous job in getting us to this point to where we're respectable again in the NFL. But Mike Vrabel and his new staff, man, they're going to, you know, the great thing about them, they're not taking a team that has to rebuild. All we're doing is retooling now, you know, getting ready for that next chapter. And Vrabel and the rest of the coaching staff, man, they seem very excited. Over the phone, had a lot of great conversations with some position coaches. Haven't got a chance to meet them face-to-face because once the season's done, I always come back to Texas. But I'll get a chance to see them very soon. So we have those face-to-face talks so we can get ready for that next chapter.
Brian, you mentioned that you are putting a pause on the workout for a second to join the show right now. We really appreciate that. When this show is over with, it is Tuesday, which means I'm heading over to Onnit Gym to do some working out. My question is for Michael, because, Michael, your jersey is amongst a number of pretty reputable jerseys on the walls at Onnit Gym that people can see as they're doing their thing at Onnit. What is it about Onnit Gym that you have enjoyed working at out over the years? Of course, during the off season when you were playing, but even now, just keeping yourself in shape.
You know, it's just the different workouts. You know, everybody got different workout plans. You probably see every day that you're over there. Jeremy Hills is a fellow Longhorn himself, training a lot of professional athletes and people that's trying to get into the pros. Also, I mean, a big shout out to Tim Crowder, who I also worked out with, who Brian Ratfo's working out with right now. I mean, those two guys, they know the game. You trust them. They trust you. Their familiarity, that somebody that you know that has your best interest at heart. And again, where are the places that you not want to work out to support your fellow Longhorn teammates? So again, it's a great gym there on it. I have nothing but respect for them. At the same time, Tim Crowder helped me out tremendously with my career. So I got to give them all the two thumbs up for helping me out throughout my career of 10 years.
Cool.
Hey guys, I got to ask both of you. We'll start with you, Michael. Your boy Casey Studdard, I'm seeing him right now. He's walking around these parts. You guys, of course, play with him at the University of Texas. We're all national champions together. He's got a show on Saturday morning. Now he's listening to this interview here with us. You got something to say to Big Case right now?
You know what? Big Case, that's my man. That's my man. I don't know. Last time I seen him, he was walking in the Lifetime Gym, but I had a glass on this show when we was over there at the Moon Tower. Enjoyed it over there, and I wish him nothing but great things too. And also, he was a Tennessee Titan at one point, also.
All right, Brian. Anything for you?
What up, man? Tell him I said what up. We just got through chopping it up yesterday. Just tell him I said what up.
Hey, what's up, see fellas? Hey, let me tell y'all something.
Uh oh,
you guys are using skinny guys to sell your cupcakes when your boys got a show on Saturdays that will actually eat these cupcakes and know how to sell these cupcakes. So I'm
hey,
just saying,
man, bring them on your show for sure. I got you.
Because you know fat guys can sell cupcakes now. I'll suck down a 12-pack with a glass of milk in 5 minutes. You know what I mean?
I didn't even think about it. We got you, son.
I appreciate it, guys. Hey, good talking to y'all.
Hey, good talking to you, too.
All right, guys, there he goes, Casey Studdard. I got to ask y'all, look, this current Texas football team, you guys were a part of the glory days. I mean, I'm 23 years old, so I grew up watching you guys play on the 40 acres and winning conference championships and Rose Bowls, national championships, all that stuff. But this program hasn't been the same for the last 7 or 8 years. You know, with what you saw from Tom Herman in year one, 7-6 isn't the standard here in Austin by any stretch. But with what you saw from the team last year, what's your confidence level with this program moving forward?
I would say they're moving in the right direction. They have a young team. I think they have a young quarterback that, you know, going into year two with Rochelle and what's they're young. It's a young team, and I think the good thing is you got all these guys maturing. They got the taste of some success, being able to go to a bowl game and playing a great game and showing what they're capable of playing. And I think another year under their belt under Tom Herman and his staff, I mean, I think the sky's the limit for the team.
How about you, Brian?
Yeah, same here. Same here. I honestly expected them to be in where they were at last year with the 7-8 range type of season, you know, because it's always building blocks. They needed to start somewhere. And when I talked to Coach Herm and Yance and some of the coaching staff, the goal was basically just be bowl eligible. Let's get back to being bowl eligible. You know, let's not, you know, set our things way too high that it's unachievable. We got to start somewhere, and I thought last year was a building block. You know, guys were able to achieve that, getting a bowl that hasn't been done in numerous years, was able to achieve that and just keep building. You know, it's all about building blocks, and it'll just keep carrying over.
Brian, we'll start with you on this question, but I want to ask both of you guys. You know, you just said that you talk to the coaches from time to time. I mean, during the off season, how often do you go around the locker room, around the facilities, and kind of talk to the current players on this team?
Man, I'm actually, it's funny because I'm actually here right now. I'm in the locker room right now. The weight room right now, chatting up with a few guys, but, you know, really caring about my business. But at the same time, I want to be around these young guys so they can see how the pros, the guys that's been doing it for numerous years, what it's all about. And, you know, I love that. I think we all made a pact, all the pro guys that are still around, to be around these young guys more often to kind of so they understand the hard work and dedication that making it to the pro level, which they all want to achieve, is not easy, you know, and it needs to start somewhere, and it all started at the University of Texas. So we try to show our faces a lot, chat them up. If they got any questions, anything they want to get better at, you know, we're here for them.
Michael, what about you, man?
I mean, I've been around a lot. You know, me and Michael Huff is up there, real good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Went to a couple of games last year. Just try to stay back and, you know, add advice, but at the same time, you know, listen to what their coaches are telling them to do or whatnot and just encourage them in every way possible that you can. But, I mean, they got a lot of talent. They got a great, you know, great coaching staff. You saw last year with Deshaun Elliott in the secondary. I mean, he was up for the Thorpe Award. Wishing him well going through this draft process. Malik Jefferson, great linebacker, probably one of the best linebackers after Derek Johnson and Brian Ratfo and those guys, Jordan Hicks. So, I mean, it continues to have good linebackers coming through there, and I'm glad that Deshaun Elliott is where he's at now. And this recruiting class that they just had with the safeties and the DBs, I mean, I'm very excited to see what this young group of guys can do. And again, like I said, another year under their belts, being running the same defense, I think this team can have the opportunity to go out there and win the Big 12 this year.
Since both of you guys have been around the program recently, Brian, you're there right now. So much was made of upgrading the facilities when Tom Herman got here a year ago. Are things that much nicer versus when you guys were training at the football facilities?
Man, that's
hell yeah. Facility looks crazy.
Those facilities look better than facilities. That's in the National Football League. I think some of these NFL teams need to get some ideas from what Tom Herman brought to the University of Texas.
Well, that's great news indeed. And one more thing for you guys. Michael Griffin, Brian Arakpo joining us right now. Not only lifetime Longhorns, Longhorn legends, they're also owners of Gigi's Cupcakes up in Bee Cave. Now you can find it on 620 just off of 71. It's on the same corner as where the backyard is, just a little bit closer. Or 271 from there. Highly recommended. I've already eaten a couple cupcakes. I'm going to make myself sick before I go to Onnit Academy. But anything else that people should know about if they decide to go to Gigi's? Anything that you guys offer beyond the cupcakes, starting with you, Brian?
Yeah, we also, what makes our store a little bit different, we also offer, you know, ice creams, espressos, coffees, cheesecakes, you know, so we kind of do it all. We sample a little bit. And we also have, you know, dietary options as far as vegan options, and no sugar. What else, Griff? You know, gluten-free.
Gluten-free.
Yeah.
Better yet, I think the best way to find out is just come in. I'm here right now, so that's why you've probably been hearing people in the background. I'm here right now, and I'll be here all day today, and Brian will come here later. And we'll be here tomorrow for Valentine's Day, so come get your orders in. And just, you know, come enjoy yourself. This is a happy place, I feel like, and we have great customer service, and that's the one thing that we try to thrive on, and we love our community. We love our Longhorn fans.
Michael, nice. You said the wedding cake is your favorite. It's pretty damn good, but how's the cheesecake, man? I'm a sucker for cheesecake. How are those there?
The cheesecake is awesome. Everything here is awesome. You know, we got little minis too, so you could buy a pack of four minis that you can get you a bite size of each one that you like, so you can kind of count your calories that way if you kind of don't want the big ones. So we got it all. Just come, you know, take a look, enjoy yourself. We have a big mural that we think represents Austin, the Pennyback Bridge, that you could take a picture in front of, and you know, just hashtag GG's BKs and just get on social media. Just follow us, and we're just trying to update each and every day.
Yeah, that is a really cool mural of the 360 Bridge. Definitely do check it out. 620, really close to 71 on the backyard side of that intersection. Do check it out. Michael Griffin, Brian Arakpo going to be there probably throughout the offseason, I'm guessing. You can check them out tomorrow if you want to hook up your honey with some cupcakes or just go out there in general. It is a great cupcake place. I'm a believer now after eating two different cupcakes, and there will be more consumed throughout the day. Guys, really appreciate it. Best of luck with the business venture. Brian, keep up the hard work in the offseason. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thanks, fellas.
Right, thank you, guys.
You
no doubt.
Take care,
no
fellas.
Doubt. Some Longhorn legends, some national champions right there. Brian Arakpo and Michael Griffin. Good stuff, man. These cupcakes, it's not just lip service. I've never been so excited to go to a commercial break so I can eat some more of these things. These are wild. Highly recommend them. First time I've had them, they are delicious. Thanks to those guys for their time. Yeah, Brian Arakpo still getting it done. 7 sacks last year for Tennessee. Lead them to the second round of the playoffs and And Michael Griffin, if his career is in fact done, a two-time Pro Bowler, second-team All-Pro, spent 10 years in the National Football League. A couple of impressive dudes coming out of the 40 acres here in town.
No doubt. All right, coming up next is Shooting the Bull, plus we'll read some of your texts from your sports Lent, the things that you want your sports teams to give up for Lent, which occurs tonight at midnight. You're listening to Midday with Trey and BK on the Horn. Not bad.
Thank you. That's with some sickness, too. Well, it's Adam Levine and Maroon 5,
sure,
so, he's,
yeah, Maroon 5.
So he's Jewish, so I feel like the Old Testament took over. I was
just falsetto right there,
I was just reading that from right to left in my head, you know?
Oh, my God.
Had to be done.
It's like you were reading the lyrics off of a scroll.
Yeah.
Old school style.
Five books of Moses, baby. Maroon 5 for the five books of Moses.
Moses had five
books. Is that what it's... Four, really?
I highly doubt that. I just came up with that off the top
of my head. I was
going
to say, man. That's
could you imagine?
Clever.
You got me.
Oh, man. No, damn. I don't think Adam Levine is one of those super observant Jews. Could be wrong.
Kind of like wrong. You?
Oh, I'm pretty. I'm definitely more observant than he is.
You do go for the major holidays. You may not go on a weekly basis,
dude,
right?
Your boy read from the Torah last weekend.
Yeah, but you eat pork.
So? Well, pork is damn good, man. All right? If those guys back in the days when they were escaping slavery and deserts and running away from all the people who wanted to persecute them, if they had a bacon cheeseburger in front of them, I'm pretty damn sure they would have snagged that. They would have ate that.
You're choosing swine over your religion. That's what it comes down to.
It's good, man. It's good food. I'll make up for the other religious stuff in synagogue. I go and atone for my sins on Yom Kippur every year. You should see how hard I pray there, man. I'm like the hardest praying dude. Our Day of Atonement. Like, I'm in the zone, man.
Can we
people
Facebook
are talking,
Live that next year?
No, not in the temple, man. People are, like, talking and conversing a little bit. Family's, like, cracking jokes. Dude, I'm in the zone, man. I got a lot to atone for. That's an important day for me. I'm a man of faith, and I go against my faith usually way worse than just eating bacon cheeseburgers. I got to make up for it every once in a while, man.
No doubt. It's all right.
Somehow we got there from Maroon 5.
Specs
rejoin, Wes.
Specs text lines 337-3776. Another person is voting that the Dallas Cowboys give up Dez Bryant for Lent. G-Rod wants everybody to know that GG's cupcakes are legit. We agree with that. Jamal Charles apparently just posted a picture from there with those dudes, too. Yeah, I'm a big believer in GG's Cupcakes. We've been looking for a foodie cupcake place in town. My wife and I have, because we had a good one in another city that we used to live in that I'm not going to mention, because otherwise you're going to have to take a drink. But now we have that. I'm glad to hear about that.
Yeah, no doubt. That was a fun conversation, too. It's good to hear the confidence that both Michael Griffin and Brian Arakpo have with Texas. Right? They've talked to this coaching staff a lot. They say they're both still around the locker room. And, hell, Brian Arakpo is there right now working out. It's good to hear that they've got confidence and faith of this team kind of getting back on track, because those dudes were instrumental pieces to the success the Longhorns had in the 2000s decade. So good to catch up with those guys. And, GG's Cupcakes, man. It's good stuff. Brian's still in the league. Michael still making it happen. So good to hear.
All right, let's shoot the bull.
Shooting the bull.
Sponsor.
Shooting the Bull, and that last interview with a couple of Longhorn legends was brought to you by AV Consultations. Hey, we tell you all the time about AV Consultations and how they can give you the home of your dreams, but Tom McKay and the crew at Audiovisual are also making an impact in the community. They have joined forces with the Texas Stars to create the Texas Stars Foundation, raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for Central Texas charities over the past few years. They're doing that 50-50 raffle, too, now at games. You see these at pro sporting events all the time. You buy a bunch of raffle tickets. The winner gets half the pot. The other half goes to the Texas Stars Foundation. Get out to a Texas Stars game. They're one of the best teams in the league right now, if you haven't been. And AV Consultations, man, they're making it happen in your home. They're making it happen in the community. AVConsultations.com.
All right, we're starting shooting the bull.
You're doing that, man. Turn on your mic.
Sorry, we're starting shooting the bull off today with a video that has been floating around Twitter over the last 24 hours or so. I'm sure you've been tagged in this video. I have several times. The video is of two dog-looking robots.
Oh, no.
That are running around what looks like some sort of robotics laboratory. And these robot dogs possess the ability to go to a closed door that has a handle. It's not like it's one of those doors that swings both ways.
Right, where you can just run into it and it opens.
Exactly. It's a door that you actually have to turn the handle and open it and pull it towards you. So the door itself opens inward to the door that these dog robots are in. Well, these dog robots have no problem opening this door. And this is being celebrated as something grand. Now, I will say that Twitter, a little bit up in arms right now. Twitter is not okay with these dog robots that can just run around the robotics laboratory floor opening doors.
No!
It's not okay.
I'm not okay with that. Are you kidding me?
It reminded me of the raptor scene in Jurassic Park.
That's a good comparison.
Because like, I was terrified.
They're moving around pretty fluidly.
Very fluidly. And like one of them...
So you saw this one too.
One of them tries to open the door, but he doesn't have like the right arm extension to open the door handle.
Yeah.
So he like signals over to his mate to come over and he's like, you got this. And then the other guy comes and opens the door and they both walk in. And then for good measure, the guy closes the door.
Oh, I didn't even see that
through.
Part. Wow.
What are we doing?
I don't know. Like, I'm serious. I don't have any weapons in my house, right? Because I just don't for my own personal reasons.
Yeah.
I am about to own some weapons.
Guns can't hit robots.
I don't care.
It's machines.
It's you know what? EMP grenades. Maybe I've been watching a little too much Call of Duty or whatever.
Oh,
it's bad.
I'm with you on that.
Those
electromagnetic pulse. Is that what they are?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm scared. I mean, we talk about it all the time on this program. We're just scared of the machines take over, and we are just fueling the machines, the robots. I mean, we are giving them the ability to do everything better than we can do. What are we doing here?
Well, do you remember the pole dancing robots from a couple months ago?
That was hot.
Well, the guy who invented those, he's a 50-year-old Brit. He's been asked more since that video came out about his thoughts on making robots more human-like. And he is giving a warning to people who are all gung-ho about this as well. He says if you build a robot that you can have sex with, then you can build a robot that you can rape. And you can build a child robot that you can have sex with.
He said this?
It's all supposedly legal. But just because it's legal, does that mean it's a healthy thing? The dark side of the sex industry will create some really nasty, nasty stuff. And I think, is it worth it? So maybe these other robots are going to come serve justice for any robot pedos out there who want to try and have sex with robot children.
That's bad. That's not good. But I'm not worried about the sex robots. I'm worried about the ones who can open doors and like jump, do box jumps better than Olympic athletes. And this is ridiculous, man. What are they doing this in Boston? Let's just blow Boston up before they start building these.
BK, did you ever see RoboCop? I'm sure Trey
probably
was. Remember Ed 209?
Filmed in Dallas, yeah.
When Ed 209 went off?
Yeah. That's right.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, eventually they're either going to go haywire or the other thing that you have to worry about is these robots being hacked into.
Dude, I was like, I wanted to watch these robot movies before and now I'm just scared as hell, man. I feel like I don't get nightmares from very much, but I feel like watching these robot movies nowadays is just going to freak me out. Like I've got so many TVs in my place that could just, if those things like somehow come alive, I'm screwed. That's five TVs against one human, man. I'm in trouble there.
Fortunately, those TVs don't have legs yet. That's why you don't need to upgrade too quickly with the televisions, because eventually your television is also going to be your Android servant. So when the Android's not doing something for you, it'll just change forms or whatever.
I'm an iPhone guy, not an Android guy.
Different type of Android.
Oh,
not the phone system, the actual lifelike robot.
I'll tell you what used to give me nightmares growing up. I'm not a big scary movie guy. I'll admit it. It's just not my bit. I'm not going to pay to get scared. It's not it's just not my favorite thing to do.
So they do freak you out.
But, you know, why this happened, I was in fifth grade, I think, spending the night at a buddy's place. Mm-hmm. We watched The Ring, The Ring 2, and The Grudge in the same night. My goodness, I just couldn't sleep for like a month.
That's a lot of scare.
So whenever I see the static, you know, on a TV channel, the cable goes out and it just goes to static, I still get a little bit scared.
You don't fixate on it?
Damn, man. Something's about to jump out that TV. Little circle's about to show up, and that slut is about to jump out the TV. Sorry, I shouldn't call her that, just in case she's listening.
Small child, man.
She's a small child?
Yes.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like a 10-year-old child.
Yeah, she's killing people. I feel like you deserve the moniker of slut if you're killing people.
Oh, boy.
What?
Now, did you ever see Candyman?
I did not. No, sir.
Wags, did you see Candyman?
That was pretty terrifying.
Set in the old Cabrini Green ghetto in Chicago. Drink up on that one.
Jeez,
but
man.
The premise of Candyman is that people enter a bathroom and you say, Candyman, Candyman, Candyman three times. Turn off the light. And when you turn the light back on, Candyman is right there. And then
that's
he kills all sorts of people.
Like Bloody Mary. Remember that Bloody Mary thing?
Very similar to the Bloody Mary concept.
I tried to watch it because of Donna DeErico.
Why would you do that? Like, why would you say Candyman three times if he's going to come and kill you?
I forget the specifics. Okay. I mean, it was a movie after all, so I'm sure it was a little bit contrived on how they even figured that out to begin with. But I watched that in junior high with a friend who was so freaked out after that, and scary movies don't really affect me. I mean, I may be scared in the moment if the movie itself is good enough, but mostly I laugh at scary movies. That's just my reaction to feeling frightened. And so after the movie was over with, I went into the bathroom to do the Candyman, Candyman, Candyman thing because my buddy was freaking out about it. He went and grabbed his BB gun and pointed the BB gun at my head.
Jeez, man.
After I said Candyman for the third time, and I said, I swear to God, if you turn the light off and back on, I'm shooting you in the head. And I said, what is wrong with you, man?
Jeez, man.
Just a movie. But that's how freaked out he was about it.
I wasn't quite at that level yet. Maybe I didn't sleep for the next month and a half. I'm not entirely sure.
That's a long time to not sleep.
Yeah, that was bad. I don't like to mess up my sleep, man. I take my sleep very seriously.
Me too.
Stop the robots. Stop now while we're ahead. I don't know if we're ahead at this point. Hey, Trey, are you a Sports Illustrated swimsuit fan?
I am. I don't necessarily go out and buy a whole lot of them at this point in my life, but I remember as a kid especially, I had the SI subscription, and one of the highlights of the year for preteen and early teenage Trey was the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got the subscription. The parents hooked that up with a nice little gift a few months ago of bringing that back.
Cool.
Yeah, SI swimsuit. Like, I'd never check my mail. That's my problem because I live in an apartment and it's only like a couple hundred steps to go to the mailbox, but it's not just walking out your front door and checking the mail. You
I was know? With you back in the day.
It's a bad habit that I have, but this time of year I'm checking every day. I'm waiting for that damn swimsuit model to come to my doorstep. And the cover lady, the cover woman has been announced.
Okay.
She is Danielle Harrington. Have you seen the picture yet?
No.
Then I will turn and show you. She is the second African-American SI cover girl. Very, let me show you the bottom half. There you go. A very attractive woman, as most of the ladies in SI swimsuit are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's got some talent right
yeah.
there. Yeah. So not Kate Upton. Kate Upton was on there last year for the third time, but she is, of course, or, I don't know if she's Kate Verlander now. She, of course, is in the magazine. Your girl, you said you're a big Eugenie Bouchard fan.
She's maybe my number one right now.
The Canadian tennis player who is very attractive.
Yeah.
She's there too. A lot of talent, man. If you don't follow SI Swimsuit on Twitter, they got 422,000 followers, and I can't imagine it's for the personalities of these girls. So go check that one out. But I think the release date is coming relatively soon for SI Swimsuit. Yeah, man, I've got like the last seven or eight just like on in my closet, just all next to each other, man. It's good material.
Wait, is this her? Is this the cover girl?
No, sir.
Oh, okay.
Is that one of the plus-size models?
Yeah, is ESPN or is Sports Illustrated doing the plus-size thing this year?
They've done it the last few years.
Okay.
And one year they put one of the plus-size girls on the cover. That's, you know. Mm. Hey, we're not here to body shame, right? You should be proud and supportive of your own body, but we not get that one on the cover? You know, I feel like that might hurt sales a little bit. I'm just thinking as a businessman.
Pretty sure you just body shamed.
No, we don't body shame on this program. Not on this station. Not at all, man.
Oh, my God.
You should be proud of yourself. Yeah, exactly. That's the type of girls that I'm into. But just for the cover, you know?
Yeah, Jeannie Bouchard. She has a kind of an old school look about her.
It's a good look. I don't care what school it's from. It's school. I'd want to be a student with her, a teacher at that school. Because apparently students are banging teachers all the time now.
Do you have a favorite era of swimsuit issue? Because I have mine. But it was before you were born.
Yeah, I mean, I've siphoned through.
Okay.
Is that a phrase?
Sure.
Okay, some of the old...
Like siphoning gasoline?
Probably snuck into my dad's closet, I think, and he had some of them growing up. That's probably how I saw them. So I did like the old school era, but, you know, for me, it's just the last 8 or 9 years is what I've pretty much experienced as I've gone from teenager to 23.
God, I used to have some classics. I mean, Cindy Crawford was in one of these, and she was wearing this little lace getup where she was practically naked. The Kathy nice. Ireland, Elle McPherson era, that was the era where I was a kid. That was my favorite era of swimsuit issue because they went a little bit off the rails for a little while. Then they they pulled it back on track, and now I know they incorporate athletes and either female athletes or male athletes and their attractive wives as part of the swimsuit issue. So I approve of all those things. But my favorite era was definitely the Kathy Ireland, Elle McPherson.
Dude, Cindy Crawford still looks really good.
She does.
Oh, my goodness.
And this was her at the beginning of her modeling career, and it was nice.
Rebecca Romijn.
That was a little bit after that.
She was just, I think she was the transition just after that.
She was, yeah, wow. She was a transition girl. You're right.
Okay, good stuff.
I
want
to find
there.
You the Cindy Crawford picture from the old Sports Illustrated. Sports.
I'm searching the release date right now. Hey, it's the 41st birthday of the great Randy Moss, Hall of Famer. Now, Randy Moss, there's something for you today out there. You know, Wags, you sent me a text a couple weeks ago about this, man. You're like, you get three receivers to pick in the history of football, three wide receivers. Who you going with?
90% of the time it's a one back set.
Okay, yeah. And I was like, and Randy Moss was in there for me. I mean, Jerry Rice is number one, I think, on just about everybody's list. Oh my goodness, Cindy Crawford, nice. Jerry Rice is number one on just about everybody's list for best receiver of all time. But an interesting debate to have is who's number two, and you can make a pretty damn strong case for Randy Moss on that list. He finally, his first year on the ballot, he got elected into the Hall of Fame. He's just one of my favorite players to watch growing up. Does a pretty good job on ESPN as well. So Randy Moss turns 41 today.
All time. I liked the video that he had where he was talking about receiving the Hall of Fame nod, too. I think it was the same day that, or maybe it was the day after it came out. He got emotional about it. That's cool to see because Randy Moss, for a lot of his career, is perceived as a guy who just didn't give a damn. And that is evidence to the contrary, that he really did give a damn, and he takes that as high praise.
So much talent. Randy Moss, second all-time in receiving touchdowns, I believe fourth all-time in receiving yards. But, man, that dude could just change the game. He was unbelievable.
Chad and Kevin reminded me of this yesterday. I'm sure you remember White Chocolate, Jason Williams.
Oh, yeah.
They were on the same basketball team together in high school.
How about that?
Can you imagine?
Oh, the oops that Jay Will would throw up to Randy?
They have video out there of it.
In the pregame. Can you imagine the hotboxing experiences for some of their fellow students after the games as well?
White chocolate and straight cash, homie. I like that right there. All right, you got anything?
I'm just going over the list of best all-time receivers right now. Yeah, I think Randy Moss does have a quality argument for number two right now. Jerry Rice is the clear number one. There's no question about that.
Oh, you did tweet out. Go to Trey's Twitter, at Courtesy Wave, if you want to see the before and after picture from the spray tan videos. And, of course, go to Facebook Live, the 104.9 The Horn Facebook account, or the Horn ATX, whatever the hell we are now. Just go find it. If you want to watch that video.
Let's go ahead and hit the break. We'll have a couple minutes to talk to Rod on the other side. You're listening to The Midday Show. Coming up, it's Crosstalk with Rod Babers. Ahead of the Rodcast from 1 to 3, this is The Horn.
Oh, turn it off, man.
You know, all you're doing is encouraging more of the same based on that video yesterday where those robot dogs were prancing around the robotics lab, opening doors, things like that. Rod Babers in studio with us right now. Rodcast goes from 1 to 3, followed by Chad and Kevin from 3 to 7. Rod, are you afraid that robots will eventually take over the world?
No, but I'm sure it's basically an inevitability. It's going to happen at one point. We're building these things to take over. Basically, we don't use our own common sense anymore. Our phones do that for us, right? They use common sense for us, right? GPS and all that kind of stuff. So once our common sense is totally evolutionarily depleted, that's when the machines will start to take over.
Be careful.
When they know we have no common sense anymore. We're just idiots walking around like Idiocracy.
Be careful with what you say. They're listening to you. They know that.
I know. They don't like me. The robot, trust me, my phone and my laptop, they don't like me.
Now, I do have to ask you, Rod, because we discussed this with you before the spray tan yesterday. BK in the building today with his new shade of, well, it's no longer pale. Is this an acceptable darker shade for
you?
Him?
You know what? I'm shocked that it's as light as it is. I mean, he's borderline Boehner right now, so that's not that bad.
I'm a little bit disappointed, man. Like, I kind of wanted it to be darker.
I thought it was going to be a little bit darker, too, considering, because I saw the paint they were waxing you with. But no, it looks good. You're pulling it off, man.
Amanda did something very nice for you yesterday. She actually thinned the really dark, cheap toner or ink. She thinned it out with some of the good stuff that she uses.
Yeah.
I think because of that.
I think that helped you, bro.
It helped a little bit. There's no doubt. Yeah. There's no doubt.
It helped you.
And that wasn't my suggestion, right? I was down for the full dark, man.
Yeah. You don't look that bad. Yeah. I mean, you were so pale that even the darkest of the darkest, like, you know, coat, whatever you got, a toner or whatever it is, it could not paint you dark enough because you're
look,
so
look
pale.
Look at that tan line right there. There's still a pretty significant difference.
This is true. I thought you should have wore, like, glasses while you did it. And then you just had the glasses.
Hey, Rod, we've got to ask, because we were talking about this last segment. Are you a fan of the – I know you've got a girl, but are you a fan of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition?
Yeah, I heard this is like the third African-American woman to ever be on the SI cover.
Yeah, I saw good. Second, according
no,
to –
No, because they said Beyonce's done it before.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, Tyra Banks' Twitter was wrong.
And –
Come on, Tyra?
Yeah, I heard Beyonce has done it before, too. So if Beyonce has done it, then – I mean, come on.
All right, it's coming out soon. Yeah. Hey, what's coming
Even
up?
Even though she's kind of light-skinned, so I don't know.
Yeah, she is.
Maybe that's what Tyra's like. She's light-skinned.
That's
she
true.
Count.
Big forehead, man. Hey, what's coming up?
You're darker than Beyonce right now. That's the color right now. You're Beyonce. You got it.
It's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. Hey, what's coming up today, Rod? 1 to 3. What you got?
All right, we'll talk about how Kobe Bryant doesn't like light-skinned brothers playing basketball. This is true. This is a statement. Jordan Clarkson made it. This is true. I swear to God.
Keep it tuned. Rodcast 1 to 3. Chad and Kevin 3 to 7. Thanks to all of you for listening, for texting. Thanks to Michael Griffin, Brian Arakpo, to the Marine, the fantasy sports guru, Adam Wagner across the glass, Sultan of Cynicism, the Vomit King, Trey Elling across the table. I am BK, a darker BK. We'll be back to get a pop at the same time tomorrow. Until then, let bygones be bygones. You can go get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here.